ACT Radio is taped and produced at the KTEP studios at the University of Texas at El Paso. The views and opinions expressed on ACT Radio are solely those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KTEP, its staff, or management.
Welcome to Animal Concerns of Texas, ACT Radio. I'm Greg Lawson.
And I'm Tom Linney.
Here on ACT, we discuss how we humans relate to other animals.
We talk about how we use them for food, clothing, and entertainment, and how there are humane alternatives to these practices.
We also discuss why a plant-based diet is the best thing one can do for the environment.
So if you're concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about your health, if you're concerned about the way animals are treated, stay with us for Animal Concerns of Texas. Coming up on today's show, we feature a conversation with Renee King Sonnen of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. That's a little later in the show, but first some news.
In a long-awaited victory for chimpanzees, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced last week that both wild and captive chimpanzees will be protected equally as endangered under the Endangered Species Act. Even though wild and captive chimpanzees are obviously members of the same species, until now, they were protected differently depending on where they lived. Populations of wild chimpanzees, who once numbered in the millions, have severely declined over the years, and they continue to face a number of threats ranging from habitat loss to disease and poaching for meat and the pet trade. They were protected in the wild as endangered under the Endangered Species Act in 1990. But captive chimpanzees were listed as threatened, which exempted them from the same protection that their free-living relatives received. In 2010, a petition was filed by several organizations seeking to have captive chimpanzees reclassified. In response, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service just announced, after 5 years, that it has finalized a rule that will upgrade them to endangered, ending the unique split listing that had divided them. Advocates of chimpanzees are applauding the change and are hopeful that it will bring much-needed awareness to their plight, in addition to restricting actions that harm them. Jane Goodall, founder of the Jane Goodall Institute, which was one of the co-petitioners, said, "This change shows that many people are finally beginning to understand that it's not appropriate to subject our closest relatives to disrespectful, stressful, or harmful procedures, whether as pets, in advertising or other forms of entertainment, or in medical research. That we are beginning to realize our responsibilities towards these sentient, sapient beings, and that the government is listening. While this change won't end private ownership, it will impact how chimpanzees are used and treated by requiring permits for interstate sales and the import and export into and out of the U.S. In addition, requiring permits for anything that could cause them stress, harm, injury, or death. When it comes to research, permits would only be issued for projects that are intended to directly benefit chimps, such as habitat restoration, researching wild chimps to contribute to improved management or recovery, or studying diseases that specifically affect them. The Humane Society of the United States, another one of the co-petitioners, says that it's now going to work on creating more sanctuary space for the hundreds of chimpanzees who are waiting to be retired from research facilities. For years, they have been used as unwilling subjects in invasive biomedical research, a practice that was deemed unnecessary by a 2011 Institute of Medicine report. And 2 years ago, the National Institutes of Health announced that it's phasing out the majority of research on chimps. This ruling, granting them endangered status, is another sign that experiments on laboratory chimps are on the way out in the United States.
From the Dodo, a presidential candidate has been spotted inching along a tree in a South American forest. Well, his hair has, at least. Meet the flannel moth caterpillar, who's recently received quite a bit of attention due to his uncanny resemblance to Donald Trump's pseudo-comb-over. However, while the similarities are remarkable, we think this little guy is cool enough to deserve attention all on his own. Several species of these fuzzy-looking caterpillars can be found in the southern United States, Mexico, and parts of South America, and they can grow quite large. They're actually covered in poisonous barbs that can cause humans and other animals excruciating pain, along with headache, nausea, vomiting, trouble breathing, and even shock. These quirky caterpillars are still pretty cool, and when they walk, they're darn near adorable. Even better, when they grow up, they turn into equally fuzzy moths. You can see some pictures of these amazing creatures at thedodo.com.
Avocados have been recommended as part of a healthy diet for a while now because they are classed as a healthy fat. But the green fruit could now potentially claim the title of superfood after scientists discovered that they could help fight cancer. A new study by the Center for Commercialization of Regenerative Medicine in Toronto, Canada, found that the good fats in avocados can combat acute myeloid leukemia, a rare but deadly form of the disease. This is because the creamy fat molecules tackle the stem cells of leukemia, which are the root of the disease, and at the moment there are very few drugs available that are able to do this. In healthy people, stem cells in the bone marrow divide and grow to form fully developed mature red blood cells, platelets, and white blood cells. But for people with this leukemia, this doesn't happen, and instead many abnormal leukemia cells are made. But the researchers have discovered that the fat molecules from avocados is able to stop this process, targeting the stem cells so healthy blood cells are able to grow. From their results, the team have now filed a patent to create the avocado-based drug. It seems to me it'd be easier just to eat the avocados and not pay for an expensive medicine. We're constantly reading of new studies that find that food products from animals cause cancer and studies that fruits and vegetables fight cancer. Stay with us. Coming up next on ACT Radio, we feature a conversation with Renee King Sonnen, who's the founder of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, the first vegan farmed animal sanctuary in Texas. That's coming up next on ACT Radio.
Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas is Renee King Sonnen from Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. Thanks for being with us, Renee.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Renee, if we could get started by you telling us how you became vegan. What prompted you to go this way?
Well, you know, it's a question that I never really get tired of answering because it constantly reminds me of where I was and how it was and where it is today. But I married my husband twice, Tommy Sonnen. He's a fourth generation cattle rancher, and that doesn't mean that he's had a ranch here and it's been in four generations of his family, but four generations of his family has been in ranching. Mm-hmm. And when I married him the second time, he had acquired a ranch. He didn't have the ranch the first time, and I'm from the city. Always loved the city life and, you know, considered myself somebody that loved animals. When I moved to the ranch, there was 96 acres here of just the most beautiful cattle I'd ever seen. I mean, they're just gorgeous cows. They would have their babies. And being the type of person I am that considered myself a lover of animals, I'd go out and try to interact with the animals. And I found myself in a real conflicted place because my husband would tell me, you know, not to get close to them because they weren't going to, you know, stay. They weren't going to be here forever. And so I got very attached to the animals. And I remember going out into the field, you know, I'd do yoga with them. I'd meditate with them because at first I was scared of them getting in their space, doing yoga and meditating. and doing some little chanting with them, it made me relax, and it made them relax around me, and they would come close to me to get curious. And then 6 months or so after I'd lived here, that dreaded red trailer rolled in and, you know, took, you know, 7 or 8 of those babies away that I'd gotten attached to. And I just wasn't the same ever. I mean, we've been married 6 years now and are going on 6 years. And every time it would happen, a piece of me would die. I would cry into the night, you know, with the cows, because they would cry. The mama cows would cry for days and days. And it wasn't like, it was like a horrible moaning choir of cows all looking for their children.
Oh boy.
And I just had to leave the house and go outside and cry with them. And so that's what prompted me to go vegan was, you know, I was married to my husband. I love my husband. And so I withstood that pain for several years. It would happen twice a year. We have a beef cattle ranch, not a dairy ranch, so it's a different type of environment. But it would happen twice a year. And every time I got, you know, a little bit more and more unable to cope until it culminated into me drawing the line in the sand. I went vegan in October of last year.
That's great. I couldn't even imagine. I have a hard time just taking my dogs, dropping them off at the groomers for a couple hours, worrying about them. So I can't even imagine how heartbreaking that would be to spend 6 months or more getting to know them and their personalities and spending, you know, this time with them outside and seeing them interact with their families. And then all of a sudden it just be gone. What did you do to cope?
Well, to cope, you know, after it would happen. Well, the first time it happened, I made little nameplates for each of them, put them on sticks, and I had an actual ceremony, had all their names on them. I'd named them, and I went outside, and I put these little sticks in the ground, and I had a prayer ritual and Smudge, and I did everything. I cried. I mean, I grieved. And then when it would keep happening, you know, my husband tried to shield it from me. He would try to, you know, make sure I wasn't here that day, but, you know, you couldn't hide it. I mean, my husband's a very John Wayne type of man. He's a very good man, but this was his heritage, you know, his history.
Right.
And so he'd gotten used to this. He kind of deconditioned, desensitized, like most of America.
Yeah.
Desensitized, you know. And so that's how he coped. But how I coped, I didn't. Okay. It got worse. I did not. I was not able to cope. That's how come I drew the line in the sand in December of last year and basically threatened to follow the red trailer to the cell barn. I was going to follow it to the cell barn, to the slaughterhouse. I was going to go to jail. I was going to do whatever I had to do to make a statement that I was, that was it. I couldn't do it anymore. I had held up that trailer for 10 months. Normally, they would go to the cell barn twice a year, every 6 months, mm-hmm. and it was 10 months. My husband was biting at the bit. He was so nervous because the cows were getting bigger, you know, and you're not supposed to keep them here that long because they start inbreeding and all kind of problems can happen. And so anyway, I didn't cope, to answer your question.
Well, it seems like there's the potential here for a great deal of conflict between you and your husband.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Boy, was there ever. We almost divorced over this. It was great fodder for divorce. We didn't talk. We had a mess. Silence between us.
But things turned around. He's become vegetarian.
He's vegan now.
Vegan?
My husband is vegan. Hey, and that did not start that way. I promise you. If the vegans that supported us had not been as gentle towards him as, I mean, I just couldn't believe the rush of support that we got. But
wait a minute. You say you're 50 miles south of Houston and there's a vegan support down there?
Well, it was on Facebook.
That's
great. I reached out. The first vegan I spoke to actually was on Facebook, was a girl in Crescent City, California. She'd been vegan 30 years, and she encouraged me. She would hear me crying every, you know, night on Facebook, and we talked on the phone, and she encouraged me to start my journal called The Vegan Journal of a Rancher's Wife, which has got an organic almost 6,000 followers on it now. But she encouraged me to, you know, find a voice for myself because I was literally tearing myself up, and my husband and I were about to divorce. We weren't talking. I was talking to her. I was really upset with my husband. I going vegan, you know, almost made me, you know, I just couldn't stand him anymore. I mean, I was just in this place of, I just can't stand you. You're a murderer. And I was saying all kind of mean things to him. Uh-huh. And it was Howard Lyman that helped me understand. Oh. I actually got a hold of Howard Lyman on the phone and spoke to him on Christmas Eve.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he pulled away from his Christmas Eve dinner.
Wow.
I've been trying to call him and contact him 6 or 7 times, and he didn't answer. He didn't respond. And finally, on Christmas Eve, he picked up the phone and said, "Hello." Just like that. And I said, "Mr. Lyman." He says, "This must be Renee." Because he, you know, he had seen me, my number of calls so many times. He said, "Let me pull away from my dinner with my family, and I'm going to talk to you." And he did. And he's the one that helped me to not want to just, you know, throw something at my husband. I mean, I was just so mad at him.
Well, so that our listeners who don't know Howard is the author of Mad Cowboy. He was at least a fourth-generation rancher, or is it more than that? But he became vegan as well, and he's one of the most famous vegan advocates in the country right now.
What a great resource to have in him.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I reached him, because I had found out through all my research that he was a fourth-generation cattle rancher, albeit a much higher-level fourth-generation than my husband, because, you know, ours was family ranching. His was big, you know, agricultural, you know, conglomerate-type mm-hmm. thing. But he was still my primary resource. I mean, it was like, God, if I could talk to him, you know.
So once you were able to establish the lines of communication with your husband again, how was the transition for you all? You know, just be hard to just pick up and change overnight and change your policies and figure out where to go. How did that transition go?
Well, what happened is I spoke to another fellow named Kip Anderson, which is the, you know, Cowspiracy.
Right. Co-director.
Director of that movie, yeah.
Yeah, and he's also on our board, I'm very humble to say.
That's great.
He was somebody that I really reached out to, and he inspired me to start an Indiegogo campaign. So the way we transitioned is I actually started a campaign to save the cows from slaughter. That was my first initial, you know, request, was help me save these cows, because my husband told me, he said, you know, what am I supposed to do, Renee? I've got all these cows. You know, we had some 29 cows at the time. He said, "Do you want me to just let them all, you know, live here as pets and inbreed? We can't do that. I've got a business. I got tractors. I got loans. I got, you know," this was his retirement. He had just retired from Dow Chemical, 30 years. He hadn't even been retired a couple of months. And so this ranch was a supplemental to our retirement. Mm-hmm. And I was throwing a wrench in everything. And my husband was like, "I guess I'm just going to sell out. I'm just going to sell the whole herd. Get out of the ranching business." And that's when I really blew up, because I was like, "Oh, no, you are not taking all these cows to the slaughterhouse. There is no way." And I had, in the very beginning when I moved out here, my husband wanted me to have, this was his biggest mistake, my husband wanted me to have my own cow. So I would feel like I was a rancher. So I bought Little Rowdy Girl. And so Little Rowdy Girl, which is the name of the sanctuary, Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, was a little orphaned calf. She had to be bottle fed 2 or 3 times a day. And so Rowdy Girl was my, like, kingpin, if you will, because that's how I held up everything hostage. I said, "That's my Rowdy Girl out there. That's my cow. Houdini's her baby. That's mine, because Houdini's her baby. And Lucky was her baby. So all 3 of those cows are mine. You can't take these cows to slaughter. If that's what you want to do, then let me figure out a way to buy them. I'll buy them. I'll buy your cows." He said, "Have you lost your mind? You lost your ever-loving." He probably used a few cuss words in there. But I was determined. I don't know where it came from. I just spit it out. And we were at such a crossroads in our marriage. I don't know if the wind in the air was right that day or what, but my husband looked at me, got real quiet. He said, "Renee, if you can buy my cows, more power to you." He said, either I'm going to sell them all and get out of business altogether. If you can buy them and figure out what to do with them. I mean, he had just kind of thrown his hands up. He didn't know what to do with me anymore. And he said, well, what are you going to do with them? If you do buy them, what are you going to do with them? I said, well, you know, and I hadn't told him this, but I had started the journal on, you know, on Facebook. I said, well, I've been talking to some people on Facebook. If you know, there's sanctuaries all over the place. I didn't know there was farm animal sanctuaries all over the country. I said, there's not one like this in Texas. And then he looked at me and he said, you really are losing it. He said, this is not California. This is not New York. This is Texas. And I said, but it could happen. We could do it. And so anyway, that's how it transitioned. I actually put this out there on Indiegogo, raised $36,000 in May. Last month it funded. And now we're starting a veganic farm here. We've got, that's how we're, farmers, ranchers' wives call me or contact me like one or two a week. I get contact from other ranchers' wives.
Wow.
You know, yeah, it's crazy what's happening. Or people that live next door to ranches that are wanting to reach out to me because, you know, once you have somebody you can talk to about something like this, I mean, who do you talk to, you know?
Right.
And so they're reaching out, and what we're doing is creating a model. We're starting a veganic farm. It's called Rowdy Girl Veganic Farm. I opened this page up not even 10 days ago, and it's got almost 1,000 people on it. We are starting, we got a business plan, a model, and we are going to be 100% vegan. You know, we're going to have hoop houses out here growing lettuces, herbs, produce. So instead of ranching, instead of selling cows for slaughter, we're keeping the cows, teaching a compassionate way of life, and also showing other ranchers how they can, you know, keep the farm.
Right.
Love the animals and still make a living on how, so they can, you know, take care of their vet care, their feed, and whatever else, you know, help subsidize that.
You must have had a lot of support since last October you've been vegan. So now you are constructing an organic, veganic farm. Where did you find the information on how to do this?
Well, my background, I'm 57 years old. I have always been an entrepreneur. I've always, you know, worked for myself and been very resourceful. It's all come into good use here for the animals. All of my gifts and skills I'm putting to use, every one of them for the animals. You know, I was just up until 2 or 3 in the morning every day reaching out to people. And a lady, her name is Shelly Katz from Hawaii, she contacted me. And this has been her dream. This is her background. She actually did a farm, not like this, but something similar called Lowly Farms in Hawaii. And she reached out to me and said, you know, my dream is to be able to show ranchers how to convert from killing animals to keeping them and loving them and showing them how that they can, you know, change, you know, the way they use their land by organic and sustainable farming. And so we started chatting on Facebook. It was just a chat. She was like, you know, and so we started out very, very much just informal, just kind of getting to know each other. And what it turned into, this was about 4 months ago. And what it turned into has been, I have now met her. She went to L.A. when I shared my story in Venice. You know, we had a Rowdy Girl Roundup meet and greet in Venice, California a couple of weeks ago. She came out there. She presented the entire plan. If you look on Barnraiser, right now we've got a fundraiser on Barnraiser for the veganic farm. We're already funded, but we're doing our stretch goal. We're doing a stretch goal of $6,000. So we're already funded at close to $3,000. But anyway, Shelly put all this together because this was her dream. So she and I conferred back and forth. I gave her directions, and she put the plan together. And now she's coming to actually live here on the ranch Monday to implement all this.
Oh, wow.
She's flying in from Hawaii. We're picking her up at the airport. She's moving into our home. Yeah, I'm serious.
No turning back now.
No turning back. No, we're doing this. If you look on my website or the Barnraiser, you can see the whole plan.
Well, since you mentioned that, please tell us the website so our listeners can go there and help support your work.
It's rowdygirlsanctuary.org is our website, rowdygirlsanctuary.org. And then there's a link on there that talks about our farm.
Well, you know, you touched on something earlier I thought was really important is, you know, this isn't a sanctuary in New York or California. I mean, most Texans and a lot of people in the Midwest really just have never spent any time with the farmed animal. So I think that's sort of a beautiful thing about being in a city or, you know, being outside of Houston and just what the world perceives of Texas and cowboy hats and beef and steak. And that's pretty much it. So I think it's amazing that you guys are doing this in a setting like that and really going to hopefully expose so many more thousands to millions of people in an area that wouldn't see it otherwise because they're not on either coast.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the people that do come here to visit, it's so awesome when I look in their eyes and they say, I've never touched a cow before. You know, I've never hugged a cow before. I mean, Houdini is the most loving, playful, snuggly creature. And when I first started working with her, she was scared, she was shy, she'd run from me because that's the way they're taught. The new cow we adopted, Cinnamon, we call her Cinnamon Girl, she's a full-blooded, registered Brahmin. She's gorgeous. You look in the eyes of this beautiful cow, I mean, she's majestic. I mean, you just feel like you're in the presence of a higher power.
Well,
I'm not kidding you.
Yeah. And then, you know, the neat thing, too, is you see them as who they are, just like a dog or, the bond that people have with their pets or, you know, with a orca or a wolf or whatever. Really, it's all the animals are one and the same when it comes to how unique and, you know, amazing each one is.
Oh, yeah, like Herman, our pig. We call him Herman the Miracle Pig. We adopted him. We didn't even have any place for him, and Facebook came together and figured out a way for us to get Herman. But he was in a high kill shelter. He was aggressive. My husband had to put a big plastic pallet in front of him and Herman to even get him in the crate because he was vicious. He now eats out of my hand. I sit next to him. He is loving. You know, I always like to look at it like this. You know, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
That's true.
What's happened in these creatures. I've changed the way I look at them, and the way they look at me has changed.
That's an amazing story, Renee. We've been talking with Renee King Sonnen, founder of the first vegan farmed animal sanctuary in Texas. And you can visit her website at rowdygirlsanctuary.org. Thanks for being with us on the show, Renee.
Thank you.
Upcoming travel plans? If having a vegan or vegetarian host when traveling, staying in a veg-run facility, and or hosting other vegans and vegetarians at your place sounds like something that's up your alley, then you're going to love this new travel website called Veg Visits. Veg Visits is a home-sharing site that brings together vegans and vegetarians to make traveling easier. Learn more at vegvisits.com.
If you'd like to learn more about a plant-based diet, please visit the Vegetarian Society of El Paso's website at vsep.org.
And if you'd like to listen to some of the past shows of ACK Radio, you can find them at ktep.org. Just click on the Listen button.
Until next time, I'm Greg Lawson.
And I'm Tom Linney. For the animals, the earth, and a healthy humanity, thanks for listening to Animal Concerns of Texas.